announcements this morning. Amen. Well, we are blessed that you guys are here. Today's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. And one of the things that we're going to talk about, and I titled the message this morning, More Than an Essence, More Than Power, More Than Force, is that we have all been raised to learn about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We all know that. You know, in Catholic life, God Father, God Son, God the Holy Spirit. Lutheran life, it was the same thing. But we never really embraced the Spirit. It wasn't something that we really did. And, you know, when you come to a church that embraces the Spirit, that walks with the Spirit, that uses the gifts of the Spirit, a lot of people become scared and even skeptical, you know, of the Spirit. But I want to show us something today that I think God revealed to me, and I pray honestly that He will reveal to all of us. In 1 John 14:9, Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me? Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Well, first of all, if you walked with Jesus in those days, you literally walked with God. If you talked with Jesus in those days, you literally were talking with God. If you witnessed His compassion and His love and His healings, then you were actually seeing God in the midst. See, one of the things that's hard for us is that we know that the Bible says, in the beginning, God. You can't really go back any further than that. That peace, you got to begin to believe by faith. We know that Jesus Christ walked this earth. There were witnesses that saw Jesus Christ. Some will tell you that they found the tomb of someone named Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ walked this earth. Now, in Luke 24:29, it says, "Behold." Now, we know that God came to earth, manifested Himself in the person Jesus Christ. Why did He do it? Well, He did it for you and me. He knew that you and I were in a mess. And He knew that the only way that the mess could get solved is if He did something. So He manifests Himself in the person Jesus Christ. In Luke, it says, "Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of the Father upon you." He says you're to stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Now, we know, because Scripture tells us, that Jesus was talking specifically to the disciples. And He says, "I want you guys to stay, and I want you to receive the promise of the Father." Now, this is critical for us to go forward in our own personal Christian lives. The Holy Spirit is not an it. You know, I laughed years ago at the Baptist church. Someone ran into me and went, "Oh, Pastor, I got it, I got it, I got it." Well, in my weird sense of humor, I said, "What do you got? And if you got it, is it contagious?" You know, didn't fly very far, but, you know. But, you know, it's not an it. See, the Holy Spirit is the third person, and the Holy Spirit is the one that is working in this world today. Now, we know that God is in heaven. We know that Christ came and did the works of the cross. He ascended, and He sits on the right hand of God the Father, and He says, "I'm going to send to you the promise now of the Father." Now, the Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete. But what this is important is it means the one who comes alongside, okay? He is our strength. He is our provider, our caregiver. He's our helper. He's our comforter. And this is why we all need to know not it, but we need to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is important for us because we all need strength. We all need provisions. I got to tell you, there are times we all need the caregiver, and there's definitely times that we need someone to comfort us in our lives just because of life in general. Now, in John 14, 6, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. And that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, why? Because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, you know, it was pretty easy in the days of Jesus. In Mark, it says, and he got up and he rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. It was very easy in those days, if you were in the midst of a storm, that you could run to something that you could see. You could see Jesus. You could talk with Jesus. You could touch Jesus. You could feel him. I mean, everything was there to go, you know, Jesus is going to be my helper. And on that day when the disciples were in the boat and the storm came up, they ran to Jesus. And they asked Jesus and said, don't you care if we're about to drown? And he got up, and you know the story. He rebuked the wind. It was very easy to run to something that is tangible, something that you can touch, that you can talk to. In Matthew 14, 16, but Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. Give them something to eat. And this was when they were feeding the 5,000. Jesus was there, sent them. All these people came to be around Jesus. The disciples go, we need to send them home. Jesus says, no, don't send them home, feed them. Well, all the disciples were sitting there looking at 5,000 men. That didn't include the families that were with them. Don't really know how many people were there. But really, in all honesty, you sit up here and you go, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Who'd they go to? They ran to Jesus. And again, he's physical. You could see him. You could talk with him. You could sit down. I mean, he was there, and that made it easy. In Matthew 17 and 27, it says, however, so that we do not offend them, go to the sea, throw in a hook, take the first fish that comes up. When you open its mouth, you're going to find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for you and for me. Again, you know, you got disciples there having to pay taxes. They're in a mess. Well, what'd they do? They ran to something that they could see. And I promise you that it would be much easier to run to somebody, something that you could see, touch, talk, feel, whatever. And it was pretty neat to have Jesus around. Well, you know the rest of the story. John 14, 1, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, but believe also in me. If Jesus was standing here with us as we go through the challenges of life, it'd be pretty easy for us to go, okay, my heart's not troubled. Because I got my helper. I can see him, touch him. We can go out to eat. We could talk. That's a little bit easier for me to do. But today our hearts are troubled. You know, you see a lot of people that talk all this kind of spiritual stuff and religious stuff, but bottom line, there's not one person in this room today that isn't struggling with something. Okay? Now, in John 14, 16, he says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may be with you for a day. Forever. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. You know, you could only imagine the time when these disciples gave it all up. You know, and in the days of Jesus, Jesus would just come and he'd go, hey, Mike, I need you. Come on, let's go. And you would either accept or deny. I mean, if Mike was a fisherman, he would lay his stuff down. If he wanted to follow Jesus, the Bible says you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That means let's go. That didn't mean ask any questions. That means drop your business and let's go. Well, the situation now that we're in is that God, we know, is in heaven. But we also know that Jesus did everything that he was going to do. That's why he said on the cross, he said, Daddy, it's done. I've done everything that you've asked me to do. He bows his head. He gives up his soul. Everybody thinks Satan killed him. Satan didn't even touch him in that piece of it. He said, Daddy, it's done, and he went. Well, he sits now on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. So we know now that he's going to send a helper. Well, who's the helper? And he's going to be with you and me forever. So God's in heaven. Christ sits on the right hand Jesus sits on the right hand of God. Now, in John 14, 18, this is the King James Version. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. He says, I'm going to come to you. Okay? The Greek word comfortless literally is translated to mean orphan. Jesus is telling them, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. Now, I don't know how difficult it would have been, but I know how difficult it is today, where people go, oh my gosh, you know, Mike goes, you know, I've had my business for 4 years. I've made more money building tents than I've ever had before. And now I gave it all up. 3 years later, Jesus is nailed to the cross. 3 years later, they're literally taking his body and they're putting it in the tomb. And they get to see the big stone rolled away. They see that it's sealed. Everybody's going, I did all this for nothing. And they're not reading this. They're not getting this. They're not understanding this. Disciples didn't understand it, and they were right there with Jesus. So it's important for us not to be so hard on ourselves because we don't understand it. It's hard. But we know on the third day. I mean, that got to be a good day. On the third day. When they went to anoint his body, there's a cocky little angel standing on top of that big rock. And he's looking down. He says, I know who you're looking for, but he's not here, for he is risen just as the Lord said he's going to do. So we know that he is now in heaven. We know that he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He has done everything that he promised. Now, the good side of that piece of it is the same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is the same resurrection power that's going to raise everybody in this room from the dead. That's good. We can hold on to that piece. But he left with us the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, meaning he left with us the Holy Spirit so that you and I would not be an orphan and one who would walk along the side of you and me. Now, again, in the days of Jesus, You know, if I needed provisions, I'd go. And, you know, Jesus gave a shekel because someone needed to pay their taxes. If I got in a storm, I'd run to Jesus. He would still the storm. If we were hungry, he would provide. If you were sick, he would heal. Jesus did everything that the people needed, but now Jesus is not here. Does that mean life's over? Does that mean we're done? Does that mean we have no help? And the passage is clear for you and me. He said, I'm not going to leave you guys as an orphan. Somebody's here that's going to help you, and they're going to help you forever. Now, John 14, 6. I will ask the Father. He will give you another helper. Okay? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three make one, which is called the Trinity that we embrace. Now, we saw the Father through the Son. We've seen the Son, Jesus Christ, but we have not seen the Spirit. And I think that's the challenge for many people in church today. Yet he has placed the Spirit over the church to guide us, to direct us, to empower us, and to speak to us. I can understand because I, for one, for a long time, was afraid to embrace the Spirit. Didn't want to embrace the Spirit because of the nonsense that goes on sometimes in this charismatic kind of realm. And I don't like the term charismatic. I think that that just means Christian, okay? But there's a lot of stuff that goes on that I don't like personally. But, you know, if someone came to me and said, I just can't believe that you had someone speak in tongues, then I would tell them to turn to this book and open up the book, and the book says specifically that God has given us the gift of tongues and given us the interpretation of tongues. Now, you can't say that it's not there because it's in the book. A lot of people are cessationists to go, that ceased at Pentecost. My deal for that is find me where it says that it stopped. I can't find that it is stopped. Is it as prominent today as it was back then? No. And I honestly believe the revelation that God kind of gave me when I, not kind of, but God gave me when we were doing this is that if God is the same God today that he was back then, then he's the same God tomorrow. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. You can't worry about yesterday. Let's just think about today. But if he is the same God today, then I ought to be able to do the same things today that they did back then. And if I can do the same things back then today, then I ought to be able to do them tomorrow because it's the same God. Well, we struggle with that. And I think that's why the church today, honestly, has become powerless. The Greek, or in the Greek, the word another, in the phrase another comforter, is the word allos. And it means of the same kind or equal quality. Okay? A second Greek word, which is translated, it means another has a different meaning or a different quality. When we have the Trinity, God is equal with Jesus. Jesus is equal with the Holy Spirit. It's all the same. So when he said, I'm going to leave with you another helper, he is leaving with us someone who has the same quality. He is equal with everybody else. Now, there are some people today that will tell you that the Holy Spirit is not equal with God the Father and God the Son. Well, there's enough scripture that we've already seen that says, I'm going to leave to you a comforter who is going to help you. He is equal with God the Father and God the Son. So when Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is of the same quality as himself, he means that the Holy Spirit has the same divine qualities that God did, the same divine qualities that Jesus did. Now, this, some might go, well, I believe with you, Pastor, I don't. We know that when Jesus walked this earth, that Jesus gave up his divine qualities. He gave up his deity. He said, I'm going to operate as man. Still God, but fully man. And I believe that Jesus wanted the world to see what could be done if you did the will of the Father. I believe that he says, I want you guys to see if you do what God asks you to do, if you operate the way that God wants you to operate, and you don't use your strength because you really don't have any, but you use the strength of the Father, I want you to see what could be done. Now, candidly, the rest of the story is he did for us what we could not do on our own, and he went to the cross as a perfect sacrifice. He is the high priest of all high priests. We don't need a priest anymore. We can go straight to Jesus, and if you have access to Jesus, you have access to God. And that's one of the greatest things that he accomplished. Now, in essence, he is saying, I have been with you, but even though I'm going away, I'm still going to be with you. Because we've already learned the passage before, I'm going to be with you guys forever. Now, what does forever mean? It means forever, okay? Kind of like the Hebrew word all. What does all mean? It means all. It's an all-inclusive. It means everything. So essential to our understanding is this. First, the Holy Spirit is a person. You can't see him, but he is a person. Second, if we see the Spirit as only an essence, you only see him as a force, if you only see him as power, you will never have a personal relationship with the Spirit. I mean, that's kind of crazy to go, okay, I'll have a spirit with a 5K generator that's got power. How can I have a relationship with that? You know, how could I have a relationship with a tractor that's got a lot of torque? You can't, okay? Third, to be considered a person, one must possess certain characteristics. First is intelligence. The second one is will. The third is emotions. You got to have it. You know, a tractor's got no emotions. You know, my lawnmower has no intelligence. Sometimes I think it's got its own will because it won't start, you know. But in all honesty, intelligence, wills, and emotion is what we as human beings have in our life. Now let's talk about intelligence. 1 Corinthians 2 and 10 says, for to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. So if the Spirit looks at you and me, and you know, we joke about it, but you know, I can hide my feelings from you. You know, you can see my works, you can hear my words, but you don't know my thoughts. And you know, it's easy for us to confess, God, forgive me for my works, forgive me for my words. But if the Holy Spirit knows what we're thinking about, sometimes what we're thinking about is worth what we're saying or even doing. I mean, how many times have you wished the person that just cut you off would just be obliterated, okay? It's just, you know it, but God heard that statement too, you know? But in all honesty, intelligence is one of the characteristics if someone is going to be real. How about will? 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So will is a part of this. You know, Mike Hogg said recently, you know, and if God gives you a gift through the Spirit and you don't use the gift, then the gift's going to be taken away from you and he's going to give it to somebody else as he wills. See, it's important for us to understand it is the will of the Spirit. Now, Acts 16:6, they passed through the region having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak. Now, you know, if we're moving, and we all know this, but there's a point in time where the Spirit's going to speak to you. And it is His will that's going to tell you to go forward. It is His will to tell you to stop. Years ago at the PD, I had an assignment, and I had been doing it for about 6 years, and one day it went, that's it, that's enough, no more. I had no clue at the time the Spirit was saying to me, your time is up doing this. It's done. I know today that certain times my spirit will go, no, you don't want to do that. And it is the Spirit who wills us to go, yes, you can, no, you can't. And on that specific day, they were going to go someplace, and it was the Spirit who spoke to them to go, don't go. And I think all of us need to be in tune with the Spirit. Now, how about emotions? Ephesians 4:30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. See, all the promises that God made through Jesus, all the promises that Jesus has made to us, all of that has been sealed for the day of redemption. And it's just as if you go and you get a paper, and at the bottom of it, there's a stamp and it says paid in full. And you might not see that paper today, but you got that paper. It has been paid in full. Romans 5:30 says, now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. See, the Spirit, the love of the Spirit has emotions, the Spirit has will, and the Spirit has intelligence. When you walk with the Spirit and you develop in your relationships with Him and you respond to His works, I promise you it's very likely that you will begin to have all kinds of glorious supernatural experience to fall upon you. Amen. Years ago, and I've said this 1,000 times in this church, when Pam and I are kind of breaking out, when we had gone to Mike and Cindy's Assembly of God church that day and they spoke in tongues and we couldn't find the door quick enough to get out, okay? You know? And then we finally went to the Baptist church, and I remember Cindy telling me, she said, Keith, if you'll just press in, just keep pressing in till you get to the place where you're willing to touch the hem of His garment, your life will never be the same. And I got to tell you that, you know, if you're willing to press in, your life will never be the same. You will see things that you have never seen before. You will experience things that you have never experienced before, because you are now living in this relationship with the Spirit. Now, I got to tell you this. Sometimes there's going to be no responses whatsoever. Sometimes there's not a word that you're going to be able to say. You know, years ago when God began to deal with me, I got up here, and for whatever reason, which I cry like a baby today anyway, I just started crying and I couldn't quit. And I remember Dustin and Lori coming up to me and they hugged me as daddy. But it was just something. I mean, the Spirit moved in the life of this church and I couldn't say a word. Sometimes we're going to cry. And you know, for men, we don't want people to see us cry. You know, but I got to tell you today, I don't really give a rip if you see me cry or not. I'm not really dumb. You know, if I cry, I cry. You know, hand me a Kleenex and we'll get past it. But, you know, my deal is if the Spirit falls on me, you know, I'm going to cry. And, you know, you can't get molded back to where God wants you to be if you're not first broken. And I tell you that we've got a God who loves us enough to break us and go, let me put these pieces back the way I want them back, and you'll become the people that I've called you to be. Sometimes there's going to be unexplainable joy. You can't even explain. Kind of that peace that would surpass all human understanding. And sometimes there's just this overwhelming love that you have and go, wow, this is so great. Luke 1, 11 and 13 says, if you then, being evil, we know, church, that there's nothing good about us apart from Christ. We know because of Jesus Christ, we have a righteous standing, that, you know, we have been justified, there's righteousness in our life, you know, and we have the privilege to stand in the presence of God. We have the opportunity to speak to God anytime we want to. And when God looks at us, he looks at us through Jesus Christ. He doesn't even see us. Our sins have been forgiven. Doesn't give us the right to sin, but our sins have been forgiven. But it says then, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, which we do, how much more will your heavenly Father give to you and me the Holy Spirit to those who are willing to ask? Church, the invitation has been given, but the acceptance is all up to you. Amen? Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning.